been old school when he was the first one to step in. But James, he's a trespass. Due to the fall and the depravity and original sin, you were dead. And when you saw, you followed Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of disobedience. It didn't sound like the Ephesians were too good to earn anything, just like the rest of us. But the Ephesians and us were once men and women to be pitied, trapped by our passions, cornered by our desires. Paul says, and were by nature children of wrath like all mankind. You might be thinking, I sure have to sit through some hard truths to obtain a gift I'm unable to earn. Be encouraged, though, because the text says in verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, overflowing with love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, even when we were far off from him, God still saw fit to yet make us alive together with Christ. It is only by grace one can be saved through faith and partner with Christ, even in the heavenly places. We have this assurance in Scripture. Why did he do this? Why would you give your enemy a gift? Because the book of Romans tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us when we were utterly helpless. We were his enemies, but now, thanks be to God, we are friends of God through his son, Jesus Christ. Why would you give your enemy a gift such as this? So that in the coming ages, God might show the innumerable riches of his grace. You know, the gift comes with just too much grace to count. And he kindly gives it. That's what the text says. Paul, I feel, must have felt a Baptist hoop coming up in his soul when he penned, it is for by grace you have been saved through your faith. Another way to put it, because you simply believe, you are redeemed. But don't start patting ourselves on the back too fast, getting self-righteous. Paul makes it a point that it is not of our own doing. It's not because we are so cute, good, and integral. It has nothing to do with your personality. Your money or social status doesn't affect this. You catch my drift. It is merely the unearned gift of God that we choose to receive. This gift in its presentation isn't like what we've seen Christmas after Christmas. No, there was no tightly knit bow on this gift, more like a sharp crown of thorns. No fancy wrapping paper to conceal the gift, more like a bloody, badly beaten body. We don't have to shake this present guessing its finding. Gift told us this: I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We rejoice at receiving our soul's salvation because the bloodshed of the Lamb who was slain took away any room to boast. Why? Because all we do is realize we walk because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has, that's the Christmas thing. He has washed us white as snow. We receive this unearned and undeserved gift of God to the point even our works hold no weight. Your labors are a tool to enjoy life, pay bills, provide financial security, but even having a much sought-after skill set, accolades behind your name. No, 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 no. We are a product of the master creator, shaped, molded, and designed to put our good works to put out good works which have been prepared beforehand so we may live in them. has nothing to do with us. This has been put in place long before time, long before we were ever thought of. God has desired to have you to himself through his son, so that whatever you even do, it points right back to what we couldn't do. Our Father has continually gifted us his riches and spiritual blessings in Christ. Can we just get in the holiday spirit, knowing that whether your name is on the naughty or good list, a gift that is only determined by the giver awaits each of us who would only believe and receive. To God be the glory. And with that being said, we, as the Hope is Alive broadcast, the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, only being a small fraction of the whole body at large, we want to offer you, somebody, today, that gift of God. We can't buy it. We can't earn it. We realize that we are sinners because the word says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We realize that when we see that we are sinners and that we have missed the mark, and by default we are children of wrath, but God doesn't want you to stay there. The book of Romans also says, while we were yet sinners, while we were utterly helpless, God made a way and had his son, Christ Jesus, died for us, became sin for us. He paid your debt with his blood because of his riches in mercy and grace and love. But not only that, he doesn't want you to stop there, somebody. Once you realize that you are apart from him, that you are a child of disobedience, but once you realize something was done about it on your behalf, you have to confess it with your mouth and believe Christ Jesus in your heart, that he was buried and risen again on the third day. And you shall be saved, thus saith the word of God, not to Corey. So I offer you today a free gift. It's wrapped up in his precious blood. It's wrapped up in his word. It's wrapped up in his love and his concern that he has for you, because he desires somebody today to be returned back to him. Come back home. Come back to your father. Come back to the kingdom. Come back to your family. That's the greatest gift that you'll ever receive. That's the greatest gift that God has ever given us, his love, despite who we are and what we've done. We are the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, located in San Bernardino, California, 1575 West 17th Street. If you hear this broadcast and you decide to give your life to Jesus Christ, repent, be baptized. If you desire membership, you can call our church. You can look us up at newhopenbc.org is our website. You're easily found. But even if not, find your local church. Find a Bible-teaching church. Faith-filled people who are operating in love and obedience to the word, and let them know of your decision. God, we thank you today for the free gift of salvation. There's nothing we can do but hear the gospel message and make a decision, God, and not harden our hearts to you. So thank you for loving us even when we didn't know how to love ourselves. Thank you for predestining us to be united back with you, even though we fail. So God, all we can say to that is hallelujah, bless your name, and thank you, Jesus. God bless you.
Amen, amen. I want to thank Minister DeCorey Newsom. Hey, hang around a little bit, because we're going to bring Minister DeCorey Newsom right back after this song. I want to thank Reverend Arnetta Carpenter. I want to thank our audience for listening to Hope is Alive each and every Sunday. Hey, get us started with The Buzz, Studio W The Buzz, that is, each and every Sunday. And you can hear some great gospel music on the Gospel Explosion. And then followed by Hope is Alive. Again, Reverend Arnetta Carpenter, you know I love you. Thank you so much. Minister DeCorey Newsom, it's always a pleasure having you here. Hang around for a little bit. I've got a few things I want to ask. But in the meantime, I was playing this song earlier today on the Gospel Explosion, and it actually had me up shouting. So I hope we can do the same thing for you. I came to tell you. That's the Trinity Inspirational Choir. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, you might as well get up. Come on. I came to tell you.
Anybody been to the river? Anybody been in a river?
said. Amen, amen. Oh, I came to tell you, Trinity Inspirational Choir. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I want to thank Minister Newsom again, and also Reverend Arnetta Carpenter. Now, back on the set, Minister Newsom, how are you, sir?
Man, I'm doing better now talking to you, Brother Brown.
Oh, man, oh, man. I was playing that song earlier today. I came to tell you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, you listen to that, man, something's going to happen. You're going to stomp your feet. No. You're going to move your head. You're going to clap. You're going to shout.
Yeah.
Yes, right. I stepped in the water. The water was cold. Chill my body, but not
my
soul.
Body.
Come on now.
That's one of my favorite songs, man. And that entire album. Yeah.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Trinity Inspirational Choir. I'm not going to hold you, but what a powerful message, my dear friend. I've got a few things I want to ask. Reverend Arnetta, are you still on the line? Is Reverend Arnetta still there?
I'm not sure.
Okay, never mind. That's okay. If she is, she can jump in. But I want to ask you, Minister Newsom, and I want you to talk about the importance of family during the holiday season, and this season in particular.
The importance of family in this season in particular. Family, I think there's two ways we have to approach this. If you have family, if you are connected with your family, this is just a great time to catch up, to fellowship, to eat, laugh, cry, reminisce on better times and look forward to even greater times. Get with your family, no matter what's going on, no matter what happened from January 1st to December, up until on Christmas Eve. Do your best to look beyond everybody else's faults like you would want yours to look past. Get with your family. But that's if a person, you know, has a family. If you don't, if it just so happens to fall your lot that you are the only surviving member of your family, or you have little to no family, I say find a friend group. Get with your friend group. You know, if they haven't already invited you to gatherings, depending on what you're going through, if your spirit allows you to not withdraw and isolate, I say get around people so that just maybe the gift of God, the encouragement that you need, that your family would give or hopefully give, can be substituted by good people, friends, people that care about you. Because sometimes your friends end up becoming more of your family than family sometimes.
That's
the reality. So if a person has family, like myself, wife, children, in-laws, immediate family, get with them, connect with them, whether it's in person, we've been afforded Zoom, old-fashioned phone calls still work. You can write a card. There's no excuse for those with family. But for the person who is a stranger in a foreign land due to situations, get with your friend. Get with one person. It don't have to be a lot of people. Get with somebody that cares about you and loves you as
right.
a family.
Right.
I just wanted to add to that. I think a family... It's very important because I think of Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. That was that family. And that's what I think about all the time, not just at Christmas time, but the fact that Jesus was born to a Virgin Mary and to Joseph, and they were family. So to me, that's like... that's the example. That should be our example for family and why it is so very important. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm gonna go off script here for a second. Not that we have one, but let's talk about the power of words. And I want to start with you, Minister Newsom, and we're gonna talk about the power of words and how you can uplift someone, especially during the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should do this each and every day, but especially during the season and any time of the year. the power of words. If you notice, when people talk about preachers like yourself, you talk about we're going to hear the word. And let's talk about the power of words and how you can lift someone up. And conversely, that tongue, that sharp-edged sword there can tear someone down. Let's start with you, Minister Newsom.
Thank you. That's a great question. We're not left with a lack of information regarding the power of words. We know the word of God goes out, doesn't return back void. It will be brought to completion, whatever God has said. But as far as this everyday use of words, even Jesus said this in the gospel, that every idle word will be judged for. We'll have to take that into account. Every idle word, every useless, meaningless word that doesn't uplift, that doesn't encourage, that doesn't provoke mind-changing thought, and that doesn't help lift the person's spirit up, even if it's correction, but it has to be done in love. We'll be judged for that. And those are the words of Jesus, not myself. Mm. We all know the scripture in Proverbs that life and death lie in the power of the tongue. We also know that in Proverbs, in many, many places, it talks about our tongue being wise with the words that we use. Sometimes it's better to be silent because you won't be found out a fool if you just shut your mouth sometimes. But when we do have to speak, and I know from trial and error, pick and choose your words carefully, because you don't know what someone is going through. You don't know what might trigger them and set them off. And we can use a simple method as far as what Jesus said. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Many times I've spoken to somebody, and I just, whether it be my wife or somebody, and I sit back and like, I was really out of line. You know how you would feel if somebody came at you like that? I said, my God, have mercy and forgive me. Mm. So we have to be cautious, careful, and just remember that we will have to take account for every idle, meaningless word that we speak. Mm. So, yes, sir. That's my take on it.
Amen. Reverend Arnetta, I would really, really love to hear your take on that. Reverend Arnetta?
I'm here. I just said I agree with what Minister DeCorey said, because sometimes we can murder with our mouth.
Oh, boy.
Woo! Just by saying some of the things that we shouldn't. And example I will give you that I not too long ago said something to someone and hurt their feelings. I mean, I hurt them. And I didn't realize it until I was told about it. Mm-hmm. And It just made me sick to my stomach, because I never want to hurt anybody. I've been there, done that, and I don't want that to happen to anybody. So I had to apologize.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It gave me great joy to be able to do that, because I would not want that person going around, you know, either avoiding me or something that would be between us. And you just have to be careful. God didn't put us on this planet for that. Mm. You know, we have to be kind to one another. And I'm constantly talking about kindness, because Jesus was kind and compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm working on it right now, just be, even with my family. Because, you know, with family, you can be curt. You know, you might say, you know, just say whatever.
That's
but
right.
You can hurt people. People can be hurt viciously by words. You don't have to, it doesn't have to be physical. You know, because if you're, I just want to say, sometimes people think I'm, you know, harsh. But I'm not, and I'm very sensitive, very, very sensitive. And then when I realized that, when I knew that I had hurt this person, I realized then that you have to fix this. You have to, and it does not, to me, it doesn't hurt to apologize, because that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. And every time you know, and I wasn't raised that way. And I know how I was raised by my parents, who were very, very kind people, very kind. And I just pray that I get to see my mother and father one day, because I know how they treated us as their children and how they treated the people in the church. So, yes, it means a lot to be careful what we say and how we say it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Sometimes, you know, when you speak to people, good morning, and have a smile on your face, you have no idea how much that might mean to someone. And I'm going to just say this, Reverend Arnett, in my experience, you know, there are a lot of people who will hurt people. And you say, well, I didn't mean it, but they refused to apologize. Yeah, you didn't mean it, but you didn't apologize. Finish the task there. Apologize.
Right.
You know? And they feel, well, if I apologize, I think internally think, well, apologies are weak, or make me seem weak. And I think it's just the opposite. What do you guys say about that? I think that's the strength. If you have the humanity and the ability and the passion or compassion to apologize, I think that's a sign of strength. What do both of you say about that?
I don't know if it's a sign of strength, but I know it's something that has to be done. I just can't imagine. I'm glad it was brought to my attention.
Right.
I really am, because I'm a minister of the gospel, and that's part of my job, to uplift people, not to tear them down.
That's right. Minister Newsom? Would you say that it's a sign of strength, or what would you say about that?
What would that be?
Yeah, to man up or woman up and say apologize. You know, you would say, "Well, I didn't mean to hurt her, but I'm not going to apologize either." To me, if you can and you have the willingness in your heart to apologize, I think that's a sign of strength.
I think it's a two-sided coin, and I say that because of this. It shows a sign of weakness, and for the believer or just anybody, when you're weak, that's when you can be strong.
Mm.
When you can realize I've messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the courage or the sense to go back and say, hey, I'm not going to be prideful and walk around like this didn't happen. I'm sorry. I apologize. Is there anything I can do to make amends? Please forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
So for us as believers, when we are weak, that's when we are strong. That's when the power of Christ can work, and that's when we can grow and learn and mature. And that can be with anybody. We grow from making mistakes. That's how we're supposed to live. But sometimes we're dealing with issues as far as pride. We're bullheaded. We think they need to apologize first, et cetera, et cetera. And so the Holy Spirit is constantly whispering to us, you know, giving us that unction. It's just, are we being led by it? So, and it shows that you're strong as well. So I could go on about that, but I will digress.
That's quite all right. And I'm going to start with you. This is the last thing I need to ask, or want to ask, rather. And I'm going to start with Reverend Arnetta. What do you give, and during the season or any season, what do you give the person who has everything, and what do you give the person who has nothing? Reverend Arnetta.
I try to make it a point to give somebody the love that they probably are not feeling.
Mm.
If we cannot do anything, we can show our kindness, our care, and compassion. I've never known to be hungry. I've never not had a roof over my head.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been clothed, you know, and I see that daily. And so I've been taught just recently that those are God's people too.
Mm-hmm.
They may not look the way we look. They may not smell the way we smell. They may not talk the way we talk. But, you know, that's what makes up the world. But it's our duty as Christians and in the kingdom of God to uphold that person, help them smile. And you're right, sometimes all you need is a smile. Sometimes all I need is a smile. Sometimes all I need is a hug. And I really am making a concentrated effort to feel what is empathy.
Mm-hmm.
Not to, empathy to know that this person is going through some trials and tribulations in their lives that we probably will never, ever have to have. But if we do, we certainly would know how to handle it because God has shown us the way, you know, because he'll make a way out of no way.
Mm-hmm.
But I really am trying to, I just want to extend my hand to that person, extend my heart to that person. And when I say, you know, about our hearts, I really mean it. When we have to open our hearts to everything, you know, because we just never know. We never know when it's going to be our last time on earth. We don't know. So therefore, we should take the time to help that person who needs the help. We know when we see them, we know that they need the help. You know, I was so taken back yesterday. We had a program here, Angel Tree Project, which was started a long time ago in the prison. After I read about it, it's not something that's brand new. It's been going on for a long time. And the layman picked that up, and I was so proud to see people come out, and we were able to give children gifts from their incarcerated parents. You know, because I don't know what that's like.
Right.
These young children know that. They're experiencing it. They're living with their family members, grandmothers, grandfathers, you know, mom mm-hmm. and dad or sister and brother is incarcerated. So mm-hmm. it just did my heart so good. And I'm telling you, I worked in the kitchen all day, and I'm telling you, my back was killing me when I left. But it was a good feeling, you know.
Right.
And I did. I'm thinking, Lord, am I going to be able to get up tomorrow morning? Well, all I had to do was take a pain pill, and I got right up. But it just made me feel good that this church does what God wants us to do. And then this coming week, we're going to be doing things for the community and for the church, for the members of the church, to brighten somebody's day. And that's what it's all about. We need to walk like Jesus wants us to walk. And I think about being a missionary and being one time a mission president, and it's ordering our steps. He's ordered our steps. And so all we have to do is follow him. Follow the way he wants us to walk. And I think everything will fall into place.
I think that is perfect. And, you know, I can only imagine I wasn't there. I do miss you guys back there at New Hope. I enjoyed attending there for many, many years. And I can only imagine some of those children. Can you imagine? They may not have had a lot, or they may not get a lot during the season. So you brighten their day. And what a great feeling if you can put a smile on someone else's face. Now I'm going to toss it over to Minister Newsom. What do you get a person who has everything and that person who has nothing?
Well, I'll just say this for the sake of time. There's no reason to give any more life to the well-off and the living. Reverend Arnetta, she just took us to the cross and back. So I will second the motion and just say thank you, Jesus.
Oh, boy. You know, I thoroughly enjoyed this. And I hope you two come back again real soon. Well, you know, you always have an open invitation here on this network. I just love it. Love your ministries, both of you. And I want to ask Minister Newsom if you would close us out in prayer.
Right.
May the grace of God and may the love of God and his peace surround you, follow you, and arrest you and captivate your heart and mind. All those under the sound of my voice, God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your people. And we thank you for the gift of salvation that we can't earn, buy, or manipulate. You've given it freely, but it came at a cost of your son, who died on Calvary and rose again on the third day according to scripture. So we thank you for loving us and caring for us. In the midst of all of our mess, you saw fit to see through it and still love us and do something about it. So God, all we can say on that note is hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, and amen.
Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to hear this program again or you want to share it with a friend, just go to studio.buzz. Write it down. Studio.buzz. This program will be up in 24 hours. You can also download one of our apps. If you have an Apple device, go to your Apple App Store and download studio.w. Android, Studio W. Available on Google Play, Apple CarPlay, and Alexa. Enjoy your Sunday.
All right.
Both of you, thank you so much. We're going to close this out with
Merry
James.
Christmas.
James, Merry Christmas, darling. James Cleveland.
Okay.
God is.
We're living in a day and time. We're being politically correct. It's popular. Let me turn that around again. We're living in a day and time where everybody's saying the name of God, but nobody wants to say the name of Jesus. We don't want to offend the Muslims. We don't want to offend the Jews. We don't want to offend the Arabs. And so therefore we crucify him of flesh. But I want you to know that there will come a time when every Muslim, when every Buddhist, when every Jew will have to get down on their knees and have to confess that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. So I want every blood-washed believer to not wait until then. And if you've ever gone through something, you know right here.
Tell them
that there's something about the name.
Something, y'all.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name.
Something about the name Jesus.
It's the sweetest name.
Yeah. It is the sweetest name.
Sweetest name I know.
I know.
And I love that name.
Oh, how I love the name Jesus.
Goodness. Is the sweetest name, yeah.
Is the sweetest name.
Just take a minute and explain to them what you're really trying to say. What you're really trying to say.
Some people say I'm crazy, but
I can't explain.
I can't explain.
The power
that I feel
when you call his name.
When I call your name.
That fire.
Said it's just like fire.
Where's
it? Shut up in my mood.
Holy Ghost.
When the Holy Ghost gets a movement, said it won't leave me alone.
Bring up with us, y'all. Bring up with us, man. Everybody.
Something
about the name.
Something about the name.
It's the sweetest name, yeah.
It is the sweetest name.
Sweetest name I know. Wave at me if you love that name.
Oh, how I love the name Jesus.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, how I love the name Jesus.
It's the sweetest name, yeah.
It is the
how sweet is
name.
I want you to tell Detroit for a minute. How sweet
is it?
Sweet of it, honey.
Said it's sweeter than honey. From the honeycomb.
Yes, sir.
When the Holy Ghost gets to moving,
just won't leave you alone.
Said he won't leave me alone. Oh, no.
Now tell every Muslim, every Jew, at the name of
at
Jesus.
At the name of Jesus.
What's going to happen someday?
Every knee has got to bow.
So tell them, don't wait.
You don't have to wait till the fire comes.
What can they do?
You can clap your hands.
Right now.
Praise
right now.
Ah. Oh, yeah.
Detroit, let me hear
you. Yeah, yeah.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about that name.
Something about the name Jesus.
Is the sweetest name, yeah.
It is the sweetest name.
Sweetest name I know.
Everybody lift your hands and worship with us.
And come on.
I know.
Everybody, let me hear you.
I know.
If you've ever gone through something,
I know.
watch this tape. When you can't think of watch this tape, all you gotta do is open up your spirit and just say, oh, what is it? Let me hear you say it.
You don't wanna go. Don't wanna go. John declared, I don't live in a fine house. I don't have a whole lot of nothing. But I declare to you that I know he's able. Does anybody know he's able? He's able. He's able to keep that that you've committed unto him against that day. Now let me hear you say, Jesus.
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 Jesus. Nobody but Jesus.
Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Jesus.
Let me hear you call him.
Jesus.
Let me hear you call him.
Jesus.
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 Jesus. Ah,
Jesus.
Jesus.
Mary's baby.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Come on.
Just a closer walk with me. Just a closer walk with me.